Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks so much for joining us here on a Monday night. Steve in for Jordana, typically Saturdays and Sundays here on the CCO. Keeping an eye on the weather to the north. Showers and thunderstorms continue to rumble across central Minnesota. There was severe weather earlier, tornado warnings, severe thunderstorm warnings, and now those thunderstorms are kind of cruising across the northern metro. We're seeing a shower and thunder shower activity set to move into the Rogers area, northern Hennepin County. We have showers and thunderstorms in northern Anoka County. The good news is no warnings right now. We don't see any warnings on the board right now, but if any of these things turn into a warning, we'll certainly bring that along to you at once here on CCO. But the radar is available at WCCO.com. We invite you to check that out. But if you're in the northern suburbs of the Twin Cities, you're going to see some shower and thunder shower activity. You may be seeing it already. Wright County, Sherburn County, seeing that, and very momentarily, extreme northern Hennepin County on this Monday night. All right, now we're pleased to be joined by Minnesota State Trooper Lieutenant Tiffany Nielsen, and we thought we'd open up the phone lines. If you want to know the rules of the road, if you have a question for a state trooper, now is the time. We'll throw those numbers out right out of the gate. 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. You can text 81807. That is 81807 here at CCO. Lieutenant, pleasure to visit with you.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Let's get started with the biggie right now. I have a fairly long commute from the northern suburbs, northern Hennepin County, all the way down to Eden Prairie every day. And it is amazing what I see morning and night, what people are doing behind the wheel. A lot of cell phone activity.
Oh, I know. I think everybody thinks they're a good driver.
Right.
And they're seeing somebody else do it, but sometimes they're part of the problem themselves.
Yeah, and is it okay when you're in stop and go to check the phone and send a text?
No, and people should actually just turn their phones off, put them away, because the temptation is there. There's been a lot of studies that have been done that it's hard for that brain to override getting that little signal on the phone. So turn your phones off or turn them on silent and put them away and just put two hands on the steering wheel and focus on driving. Driving is actually an important task, and I think sometimes we get a little complacent about the task of driving.
Yeah, now what is legal when it comes to electronic devices when you're operating a motor vehicle in Minnesota? Because GPS has been around for a while, so you'll see people with maps and some of those heads-up displays. Are those okay?
So you cannot text, you can't send or receive an electronic message while you're driving the vehicle, whether you're driving in traffic or stop at a stop light. Now, there is some new kind of products like CarPlay, Apple has it, where you can basically give a voice command to your phone. It will send a message based on your voice prompts, and it will read a text message that you receive back. That's in some of the newer vehicles. But if you have to actually push a button or send a message by selecting a phone number, then that would violate the law to not text or check electronic messages while driving a vehicle.
What about talking on the phone? Where does that come down under state law right now?
Well, right now, if you're 18 or older, you can talk on the phone. If you're under 18, 17 or 16 years old, or 15, it is not allowed to use a phone while driving unless you need to make a 911 call. So there are some provisional license restrictions that are eliminating this for young drivers. Young drivers have a lot to learn as a new driver, and the phone would be a big distraction, and that's right, that making a phone call unless there's an emergency is prohibited by state law for young drivers.
Yeah, it just seems to me we're in a whole new era because modern vehicles are safer than ever before with anti-lock braking systems, collision warning systems, airbags, the seatbelt laws. We'll get into that momentarily. But it seems like motor vehicles are safer than ever before. But unfortunately, some of the statistics are saying that people are distracted and not paying attention. And as a result, we're seeing more crashes and unfortunately, more injuries and fatalities.
I know. And it's so sad to have to look at these crash reports and know that there's a family behind the situation. There's a family that have lost somebody. And honestly, I'm a parent of young kids who are eventually going to be driving, and I'm already worried about them when they're driving on their own and there's not a parent with them in the vehicle. So these are very real risks for people. It doesn't always happen to the person down the block. It can affect anybody. And there's certain things that a driver can do to protect themselves as much as possible. And I know there are individuals out there that don't agree with our seatbelt law, but your family member will appreciate if you put it on. There's always somebody that wants you to wear a seatbelt when you leave your house. So wearing a seatbelt, driving at a safe speed limit for the conditions, never using drugs or alcohol when driving a vehicle, and putting distractions away. Those are really the top four things you can do to try to protect yourself and your family members inside your vehicle.
Now we're joined by Minnesota State Trooper Lieutenant Tiffany Nielsen. By the way, if you have a question for the lieutenant, feel free to call 651-989-9226. You can text 81807, not while driving, 81807. We should point that out quickly. Speaking of young drivers, what are the rules when it comes to a driver under the age of 18 and how many people they can have in the vehicle? Are there rules?
Yes, there are. It's a graduated driver's licensing system, and Minnesota has found that other states have had good success in reducing the amount of teen drivers being involved in fatal or serious injury crashes. So once your 15-year-old turns 16, the first 6 months of their driving time, they can't drive between midnight and 5 o'clock in the morning, and they're limited to having one other person in the vehicle with them apart from family members. So if they have two brothers and sisters, that's fine, but they can only have one friend in the vehicle while driving. And we do run across situations where sometimes parents have given their kids permission to drive with extra passengers in the vehicle, and that does violate the law. So we'll make a phone call to the parents if we have to make a traffic stop. And usually we're making traffic stops based on the driving behavior. So, you know, there's 550 troopers around the state of Minnesota, and I know a lot of people think we need to stop a lot more cars, which we try to do, but it's hard to get them all. You know?
Yeah, for sure. Speed limits is another biggie, particularly in construction zones. And there are two seasons. You've heard the old joke, winter and road construction. But this is really serious business as well, and big fines for speeding in construction zones.
Yes, it's a minimum $300 fine. And any time a citation is issued, there's the fine and then there's the court surcharges. So when you combine those two together, if you get a citation in a construction zone, it's going to be a $375 total fine you have to pay to the court. And we do a lot of enforcement in construction zones. You know, and sometimes when you're driving down the road, literally those workers will be right on that skip stripe. Sometimes they're putting in the rebar, they're taking out patches of concrete and putting it down. And sometimes they're MnDOT workers, sometimes they're contractors, and, you know, they work in these very precarious environments. And that's really where distractions absolutely need to be put away, because sometimes you're within a hair's width of hitting somebody, and at the speeds of a freeway and a human body, our bodies are not prepared to deal with that sort of force. And in the last 5 years, about 39 people have died in construction-related crashes. And obviously, we want to keep all the workers that are out on the side of the road safe, and so they can go home to their families at the end of their shift as well.
Yeah, I've noticed in that area of major construction on 169 South or 394 all the way down to the Nine Mile Creek Bridge, there is a strong trooper presence every morning because, as you pointed out, these guys are doing work right along the cones, trying to pour and smooth concrete and do other work in those zones. And just about every day there is a trooper in those zones.
Yes, and so MnDOT does contract with the State Patrol where we have our normal troopers out doing the job, answering calls, stopping cars, and then they'll actually do a contract with us. We have one trooper or two troopers that are just specifically assigned that work zone. In part, the lights slow the traffic down, but then if the situation arises, we do make traffic stops. And I can tell you, in the middle of an afternoon shift, we have drunk drivers passing through, like 911 callers and call and report the driving habits. So I think sometimes we live in this world where we live pretty safe, but there's things happening all around us, and we kind of need to open our eyes to these things and make phone calls if we see somebody driving unsafely. And we also have an online system for reporting unsafe drivers. So say you don't feel comfortable making a phone call, you can go home. There's a State Patrol website where you can report unsafe drivers, and that gets sent to the district where it occurred, and the captains will follow up with those individuals.
All right, very good. Quick break. We'll come back, take some calls for the lieutenant. Once again, Lieutenant Tiffany Nielsen of the Minnesota State Patrol is joining us. Valerie and John waiting on the phone lines. We'll go there in a moment here on CCO. Welcome back. We're joined by Minnesota State Trooper Lieutenant Tiffany Nielsen, Rules of the Road here in the state of Minnesota. And once again, we appreciate the lieutenant joining us for a few more minutes tonight. We want to go to the phones. Let's bring in Valerie. Valerie from the Stacy, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello. I'm actually walking out in the rain up in Forest Lake.
Oh, wow.
So I read a really, really good article this weekend in an old 2003 Reader's Digest, but it's something that she might want to comment on. It was regarding projectiles in vehicles and how we never think about that in the car industry, doesn't talk about it, how strollers, tools, a can of beans actually paralyzed a little boy from hurling, you know, at his head. And even unseatbelted passengers in the back seat, I did not realize, can break the front seat and break your spine, even if the people in the front are seatbelted. So I'll hang up, and if she would just educate people on the importance of, like, bolted down cargo boxes, and even nets aren't safe enough.
All right, very good, Valerie. Great call.
Yes. But no, she's absolutely right. Any unrestrained persons in the vehicle can, I mean, the strength of a crash is so ferocious, it's so violent, that it can throw unrestrained people, pets, large objects around the vehicle, and that can cause fatal or serious life-changing injuries. You know, everything needs to be secured inside the vehicle, or if you're hauling even a heavy load in the back of the vehicle, drive it at a safe speed, allow a lot of following distance behind the vehicle in front of you if you have a heavy load. Drive in the right lane, which will maybe give you an opportunity to pull onto the shoulder if something happens. So we don't have a lot of crashes, but they do happen. And, you know, like I said, everybody feels very safe in their vehicles. They feel like, and a lot of vehicles are very insulated from the sounds around them. And I think that kind of allows that complacency to set in. But if you allow safety exits and try to secure everything in your vehicle down, you could also reduce risks to yourself if you are involved in a crash.
What does the law say specifically about seatbelts? Everybody in the vehicle needs to be belted in, and kids need to be in some sort of booster seat or child seat.
Yeah, so every person has to have a seatbelt on, provided there's enough seatbelts in the vehicle, unless the vehicle is maybe before 1964. At that point in time, they didn't have seatbelts, so they aren't required. But I would suggest any parent who wants to take a ride in an older vehicle, try to secure a car seat in the vehicle, and you can put aftermarket seatbelts in a vehicle. If they're under the age of two, they have to be in a, or sorry, under the age of four, they have to be in a harness-style restraint system. And if they're 4 to 8 or 4 foot 9, whichever comes first, they're in a booster style system. And it's very important that the seatbelt, when the child is in that booster style seat, that the seatbelt rests against their hips and thighs and not over their abdomen. So you have to check that. And if your kids have to put their seatbelts on every time they get in the vehicle, then it's a good situation for your family. If you ever let your child take a seatbelt off, you might be fighting them for a long time to put it back on. So every time you get in the vehicle, even when you're backing out of the driveway, everybody has to have their seatbelt on and buckled.
All right. John in New Brighton, you're on with the lieutenant. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening. Say, I live in New Brighton, and I got a stop sign question.
Okay.
Let's just say I'm going east on 694. I just came under Silver Lake Road, and I'm going to exit on Long Lake Road. We come off that ramp. There's a stop sign. It's very high up. It's right in the middle. Now, you can go left back over the bridge. That's one lane. But if I go right, that right turn makes a brand new whole lane. And a lot of people just don't stop there. They just keep on going right.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So what's the story with that?
If there's a stop sign, you have to stop. And a lot of people do that roll-through situation, which does not allow them to watch for pedestrians. I mean, pedestrians, when you're focused on a vehicle approaching, you're not looking for the pedestrians around you. And we go to a lot of crashes where people are making right turns at a stop sign. They roll through it, and that pedestrian is just taking the step off the curb, and they didn't see the pedestrian there. So although the speeds are a little bit slower, it still can result in a serious injury. And, you know, we've had situations right in St. Paul where people are crossing through, like down by the light rail, that have crossed out and been hit and killed. So if there is a stop sign, you have to stop, and you have to come to a complete stop and then make the turn after you've checked that it's clear and you've checked for pedestrians as well.
Well, Lieutenant, our time is going all too quickly. Couple of quickies. Why did you want to become a state trooper, and who influenced you?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, it's interesting. Traffic has so many different facets to it. I know there's sometimes this little joke between cops that troopers like to chase taillights, but there are so many questions that people have about traffic law and, you know, being stuck in traffic, and there's this great opportunity within this organization for a lot of different jobs. But my dad was a cop in Apple Valley for many years, and actually after college I decided I wanted to pursue law enforcement, and here I am 13 years later.
Yeah, and there are a lot of opportunities for young people to get involved with the State Patrol.
Yeah, so we have two different hiring programs. One is our traditional program, folks that have been interested in law enforcement, and one is our non-traditional program, where if you have a 2 or 4 year degree from a regionally accredited college, you can apply and we'll provide all the police training for you required by the state of Minnesota and work for the State Patrol. So you have to go through extensive training, and all of our training is like a paramilitary style boot camp, but it does prepare you for the job you have to do sometimes by yourself.
All right, one we get all the time. Folks who are driving in the left lane on, say, a 4-lane or a 6-lane highway, what about that? What does the law say about people who are out there hanging out in the left lane? For instance, maybe let's use I-94 between, say, Monticello and St. Cloud, and someone's out there in the left lane tooling along and
yep.
holding folks back.
So the law is that the slower traffic has to move right. So if you're in the left lane, the law says you cannot exceed the speed limit in the left lane. But if you're driving less than the speed limit, you have to move right. So, you know, in some states, they're very strict on that left lane being a passing-only lane. And Minnesota has, I think, outstate a better understanding of it, but in the metro area, everybody's using the left lane. So
yeah.
if there's a vehicle approaching from behind, if you move over to the lane next to you, you know, then you're following the law. And if that vehicle is speeding past, well, eventually it'll catch up with them. They'll meet a trooper at some point in time.
All right. One more we wanted to get to, and this gets into what type of documentation are you legally required to carry in your vehicle? I know you need to have a valid driver's license, and I'm thinking you need to have a valid up-to-date insurance card. Anything
yes.
else?
If you're driving a standard passenger vehicle, those are the two things that are required, a valid driver's license and an insurance card. And now sometimes people are getting insurance cards that are set through their phone or there's another system. So if you don't have the paper copy in the car with you, we will allow you to pull it up on your phone records and show it to us while we're on the side of the road. Those are the two things you have to have. A lot of times people carry their registration information. If there's ever an issue with your tabs, we might want to look at that. So if you just have that in your glove box, that's fine. We probably won't ask for that if your tabs are coming back as current and valid.
All right, so tabs or proof of registration, not a big deal. Because I would assume you'd be able to check that via the onboard computer.
Yes. When we run a driver's license, we find out when the tabs were issued, when they're supposed to expire. And sometimes we have people we stop who have different tabs on their vehicles. Sometimes it's an innocent mistake, but sometimes people are trying to skirt the law and pay for less expensive taxes, and putting them on higher market vehicles.
All right, here's one from the text line. We talked about texting and driving, major no-no. Fooling around with your phone, not a good thing. But what about taking a picture with your phone while driving? Is that legal?
Well, I would not recommend doing it. If you take a photograph with your vehicle and it's not being sent through space, it wouldn't violate the law. But it does take your sensations off the road and puts it on your phone. And if you are involved in a crash, we would try to document that. So there are other types of offenses that could lead to, like failure to yield the right of way or inattentive driving, but it wouldn't necessarily violate the texting and driving statute.
All right, just a couple more before we run out of time. We've got the weather coming up. By the way, showers and thunderstorms, no warnings right now, but those showers and thunderstorms are moving through the northern metro. Right now, you can see the radar at WCCO.com. This one has to do with emergency vehicles. Number one, you see a lot of people move over and slow down. If you're in a freeway situation or on the open road, do you need to pull over and stop, or is just pulling over and slowing down good enough?
So I'll answer it first for the freeway.
Okay.
If you're on a freeway, usually there's a center median between the two lanes of traffic. And we are always going to try to use the left lane of travel so that drivers can see us coming from behind and move to the right. Now, sometimes when traffic is very heavy, that right lane fills up fast. So then it's okay to move to the left lane. And usually, if you're in heavy traffic, you can look at the officer behind you, and they'll kind of give you signals, go right or go left, because wherever we want to get to, we want to get there quickly, but we also want to get there safely. Now, outstate, very common to move to the right side of the roadway, and oftentimes when I'm driving code to a call, as I'm passing vehicles, people are pulling over, but by the time I pass them, they're not coming to a full stop. They're slowing down. They're making way for me. And then as soon as I pass them, they can speed back up and get into the flow of traffic again.
I see. And then I see most motorists spend a lot of time on the roadway. People move over when a trooper or any other member of law enforcement has someone pulled over or is rendering assistance on the side of the road. What does the law say specifically? Do you need to give them a full lane? Sometimes in heavy traffic, that's not feasible.
Yeah, so this is the Ted Foss move over law that was created after one of we lost some of our troopers by being hit by a vehicle. So the law is written that if there's a lighted vehicle, police, fire, ambulance, or a tow truck, or MnDOT, on the side of the road, you have to move a lane away, allowing an open lane between them and you. Now, sometimes the traffic is very heavy. If you cannot move a lane away, then slow your speed enough that the officer at the scene could look at you and recognize that you see their presence, that they see you're there. I've noticed a big change in this, and I think it's taken kind of years of talking about it and people have been more aware of it. But I do see a lot more drivers moving over, making that safety zone. And even if you see somebody on the side of the road that's trying to change a flat tire or of a stalled vehicle, if you see them up ahead, move over for those folks too, because we want to give them the same safety buffer that we expect as well.
All right, we've got to run. We're over time. I appreciate. No. I appreciate your time tonight. It's been great. We've had a lot of great calls and texts. We'll have to do it again sometime.
That sounds great. Thank you. There's always lots of traffic law questions.
Yeah, I'm sure. Lieutenant Tiffany Nielsen, Minnesota State Patrol, joining us here on CCO. It is 9:36. We're late to the weather. By the way, radar is showing showers and thunderstorms rumbling through the northern metro, Wright County, Hennepin County, Anoka County, even in the northern fringes of Ramsey County now, and those are going to continue to track through. The good news is we don't have any warnings on the board. These appear to be garden variety showers and thunderstorms, but heavy rain. There's definitely some heavy rain and certainly lightning with these storms as they move through. We'll continue to keep an eye on it for you here at CCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It is 9:43. Steve in for Jordana tonight. Jonathan Lowe is our studio coordinator. I usually hang out with Jonathan on Saturdays. Here we are on a Monday night. How about that?
This feels like another time, another age ago, where we would hang out on a weeknight.
Yeah, but typically on Saturdays here at CCO. Let's get you up to date real quick on the weather again. I know shower and thunder shower activity has certainly moved into the Twin Cities metro area. And there is some very heavy rain associated with these storms as they continue to sag to the south and to the southeast. Once again, when I came on the air, or just before I came on the air, I checked the radar at about 8:45, and these were really in a line over Sherburne County up through very northern Anoka County and into Isani County. And now these storms have sagged to the south. And now, really, all of northern Hennepin County, and really, if you draw a line on and use 694, the heaviest stuff is just north of 694 and 94 up to the Maple Grove area and back toward Rogers. And that continues to move south. And then there's a pretty heavy cell in what would be the White Bear Lake area as well. Now, the good news is no warnings. And, Jonathan, you pointed out that the Weather Service has started to drop counties out of the watch box.
Yes, it looks like these storms have weakened from their biggest height of earlier, where earlier tonight, where there were several tornado warnings that were being issued out toward Alexandria, just to the north and northwest of St. Cloud. Even some tornado warnings up north of Duluth a little bit earlier this evening. So it seems like things have calmed down a little bit as far as the instability in the air with the daytime heating going away, with the sun going down. It's still very juicy and soupy there. But
dew point 72.
Yeah.
Officially.
There is still a lot of juice in the air, but it's not as dynamic because the sunlight, the sun rays going down and not affecting us anymore, that kind of dulls it out a little bit.
And there was a fair amount of severe weather in central Minnesota.
Yes.
Alexandria area, there have been reports of some damage due to heavy winds. Those were radar-indicated tornadoes.
Yes.
But we saw a swath of severe weather. And as we pointed out, the very latest, no warnings right now, but those heavy thunderstorms continue to drift south into the heart of the Twin Cities area. Twins and Yankees, by the way, are tied at 2. They're going to the bottom of the 8th, and they better hurry because it looks like it's going to rain at Target Field. Possibly it could be raining downtown in the next 20 to 30 minutes. Hard to tell at this point in time, but eventually Target Field's going to get wet.
I never thought I'd say this in my lifetime, but you may have to feel for the Yankees because the last 3 days have been pretty it might be more old school, but in these days and in this time period of baseball, they've been pretty brutal to the Yankees. They had a 16-inning game on Saturday against Boston, against their rival in Boston. Then they played a doubleheader yesterday, coming off of that 16-inning game on Saturday. Now they fly to the Twin Cities after the doubleheader, and they could get a rain delay late in the game, late in a tie ball game that could go on, I don't know, this might be a half an hour to 45-minute delay, and then you may go extra innings again. I kind of feel a little sorry for the Yankees.
I don't know if too many people agree with
no,
you.
No, and trust me, this will be fleeting. This will be gone by probably 1 a.m.
Real quickly, our text line, 81807. You really are eyes out in the field, 81807. Heavy rain with lightning in White Bear Lake. We brought that up earlier. That kind of gives you an idea. You know, if you take 694 and go all the way across the northern metro over toward Maple Grove or 694 and 94 join, and you get over to the Fish Lake interchange, that gives you an idea of kind of the line as it continues to sag. And by the way, a report out of St. Louis Park, temp went down 8 degrees as these storms continue to sag to the south. But the good news is, again, no warnings right now on the board. And then behind this current system, there's a little bit of a break as you head up towards St. Michael and Albertville. But there is another area of very heavy rain up in the St. Cloud area, and that continues to track this way. So we may get two shots of a shower and thunder shower activity here in the Twin Cities. And that area loops all the way up to Hinckley and all the way over to Hayward, Wisconsin. So it looks like we're going to have two bouts of rain here in the Twin Cities tonight.
And real quick, I'm a little bit surprised there hasn't been any flooding advisories or flood warnings going up in central Minnesota, because those storms, they basically trained over one another for a long period of time, and there's still a lot of wet weather up to the north. So I'm a little bit surprised we haven't seen any flash flood or flood warnings up in central portions of Minnesota, but there may still be some after effects after this.
All right, so we'll continue to keep an eye on that for you. Friendly reminder, Dave Lee, morning news tomorrow at 8:11. How much will Mankato lose when the Vikes move training camp to Eagan? That's Dave Lee in the morning news tomorrow here on CCO. Quick break. We'll have more weather in a moment. All right, couple minutes, get you up to date on these thunderstorms with torrential rain moving into the Twin Cities area. There is a chance that we could see some hail, some gusty winds, certainly lightning strikes, but they have not reached the severe criteria or the severe level. So there are no warnings right now, but heavy rain from northern Hennepin County. This includes Maple Grove, Brooklyn Park, Plymouth, and then you head east metro, White Bear Lake area, into areas of St. Paul. Maybe the heaviest rain right now along Highway 36 on the northern border of St. Paul, Maplewood. So those will continue to sag to the south, and it's still dry at Target Field. The Yanks and the Twins are tied at 2 in the 8th inning, but it looks like it's going to get wet. Will they be able to get the ball game in before it rains there? And then behind this, to the north, there's another area of very heavy rain, and this is from the St. Cloud area, and that heads all the way up toward the Hinckley area and beyond into northern Wisconsin. So once again, a shower and thunder shower activity with very heavy rain, potentially a little small hail. Here and there is some gusty winds and lightning, always a concern as these storms continue to move into the heart of the Twin Cities area. But right now, they are certainly north metro, but at some point in time, you'll get wet south metro as they continue to move south. Ever so slowly, though, as we keep an eye on it on radar, and you can check out the weather anytime at WCCO.com and get a good look at the radar. By the way, from our text line, heavy rain in Crystal, Bass Lake Road, and West Broadway. Park Ranger in northern Anoka County. Northern Anoka County, it finally stopped raining. Temp dropped 20 degrees on my car thermometer since the rain started and now has stopped. We have 84. Our dew point 72 here in the Twin Cities, but it's not raining at the airport right now. And feel free to send your text if you're not driving, 81807. 81807. It is 9:56, and that's Maplewood Toyota time. When you need a new car or truck, it's time to check out Maplewood Toyota. CCO.com first. We'll have all the news and weather at 10 o'clock here on CCO. Stay tuned.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.